Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
All right, 106. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. You heard Pat Boyle there give you the last 2 minutes here of this Rangers game. They're down 2-1 in the third period, in desperate need of points here. Another listless, I think they had two shots on goal in the first period. I mean, I was driving in, but it has been a miserable season for the Rangers. We'll get to that a little bit. The Knicks with a good win, and obviously Josh Hart with his ninth career triple-double, breaking the record of Walt Clyde Frazier for the most triple-doubles in a regular season for the Knicks. So him and Karl Anthony Towns both had triple-doubles. The first time, was it ever, that two Knicks have had triple-doubles in the same game? Wow, that's incredible. What a stat that is. So we'll get to that, as well as obviously the baseball season is getting underway here on Thursday, tomorrow, mañana, 888-808-1019. But Russell Wilson, the Giants, stunned the world. And bring in, they didn't, plan A wasn't available to them with Aaron Rodgers, so they went with plan B and plan C and brought in, thank God, imagine if Flacco was one of these two. Oh, my God. At least it is Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. And I'll tell you the truth, I prefer Jameis Winston. I've been saying that for a long time. I'd rather see Jameis Winston be the starting quarterback for this team. But right now they've got two options. I still think they draft Shedeur Sanders if he's there at three. I still think even if that doesn't present itself as an opportunity, the New York Giants will try to draft a quarterback in the first or second round if open to them, because I think you have to find your future quarterback. That's part of the selling point of the rebuild of this team with Shane and Dable, something they haven't done and they may never get another opportunity to do. I just find it hard to believe two different things. One, that they sold John Mara on a plan moving forward as the coach and GM on, we'll sign two, you know, aging veterans and that's how we'll turn this thing around. And two, I just can't imagine that they're going to go through their entire tenure without taking a chance on a quarterback. Like, this could be their last chance to do it. This could be the last draft Joe Shane has as GM of the New York Football Giants, and he's going to just go out meekly with, oh, best available, and then take, what, offensive lineman? Like, better win a lot of games next year with a tough schedule and a tough division. Let's get back to the calls. Jeff in Louisiana. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Chris, it's good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too.
No, thank you. I just wanted to say I found your early logic at the beginning of the show just, to me, impeccable. It just seemed so straightforward that they would still try to draft Sanders. Mm-hmm. I even think that the fact that they only gave Wilson a one-year contract, it makes sense. I think you've pointed this out yourself, because if they draft Sanders, if they're able to draft Sanders, and then he's ready in the second year, and then, you know, Russell Wilson drops out, and then they have Jameis Winston as a backup. So I think it all makes sense to me.
Absolutely.
And I also think when you have an opportunity, you have to, on something like a quarterback, and that's your desperate long-term need, you just have to take your swing.
Yeah.
They fouled up last year. Go ahead, sir.
No, I agree with you, Jeff. I think you have to take your swing, and the GM has even acknowledged that he's got to take a swing at the quarterback. He said as much. Like you said, I believe in taking big swings at the quarterback, and yet they haven't drafted one in his first couple of drafts. So, I mean, this is the time. Now is the time. They have to find their guy. They have to at least give a try to their guy. And listen, if it fails, it fails. But they can't go down. I just can't imagine Joe Shane and Brian Dable going down swinging with Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston as their quarterbacks. Like, I can't imagine life on the line, and they're trying to provide a plan to this ownership, and they're going to bring in Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson and call it a day at the quarterback position. Like, I find it very hard to believe.
I agree with you. I don't know how you defend that.
Yeah,
that would be. Go ahead.
No, I agree, and thank you for the call, Jeff. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I don't know how you would do that. And again, I'm not saying that they should do something crazy to keep their jobs, and that was the fear, right? When they kept them, I remember Evan going on and on about this. When they kept them, Shane and Dable, the fear was, well, they're gonna force a quarterback. They're going to do something crazy to make sure they keep their jobs. And I don't think, obviously, they should, and that was a legitimate fear. And by the way, drafting a quarterback third overall is not that. It's just not. That's not a crazy, wacky Hail Mary to save your franchise, drafting a quarterback third when you don't have a quarterback. That's part and parcel with what the NFL is about right now. So, as the Rangers give up an empty net goal and they will lose this game to the Kings 3-1 with 12 seconds left. But I also don't expect them to make decisions based on what's best for the franchise without them. Like, and right now that's where we are. If they don't draft a quarterback and they don't win enough games, they're going to be fired. If they're set up to draft Arch Manning, and we'll do so, I'll talk about Arch Manning in a little bit because if I hear Arch Manning's name one more time, I'm going to explode. But like, if they set themselves up for the better quarterback draft that is next year, they're not going to be here to make that pick. And I can't expect them. All right, I don't want them to make Hail Marys, but I can't expect them to set up for failure. Like that, I can't imagine the owner, after the way he spoke when he brought them back, has this kind of under-the-table handshake like, hey, look, next year we could have March Manning, the draft class is better, maybe we should lose games, and I'll be okay with it, don't worry about your jobs. Like, that's not, the idea of losing games last year pissed him off. If anybody wants to tank around here, I'll fire them. That's what he said during the press conference, or at least meeting with the media, when he decided to keep them. Like, he's looking to win games, and I don't think five or six, if they draft a quarterback and show promise with Sanders and they win five or six, I think they have a chance to keep their jobs. If they're just going with Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston and they win five, six games, why? Because it's two more than last year. It's still a miserable season. That's still probably, you know, arguably last place in the division. It's still playing meaningless games in December, so for me, that's not enough. So they're not making decisions based on what happens after they're gone. That I don't expect. Evan in Astoria. What's up, Evan?
All right, so here's the thing. First of all, what these two signings of quarterbacks have led me to believe. Because if you sign Jameis Winston, I go, okay, you're gonna get one of these quarterbacks, top three. Scott. I'm not saying Sanders and Ward talk. I'm saying neither of these guys in another draft will be a top three pick. So once you sign Russell Wilson, I'm saying the plan is to convince John Mara that give me one more year. We're punting on this year. The Cowboys, the Commanders, and the Eagles are head above shoulders better than us. All right, we're nowhere near this. So why are we gonna listen? I'm a diehard Giants fan.
So crawl into the bathroom, lie on the floor, and get into a fetal position, and not attempt to try and have a season because the Cowboys are better than them and the Eagles.
I'm not saying no. What I'm saying is, if we've already sat out, we've been had nothing but bad. We've sat out a crappy decade. Okay, what I don't want is them to reach. Now they have this pick at number three.
Yeah.
I don't want this desperation for their own, to save their own jobs to go for one of these substandard quarterbacks.
But they're projected. Like, Sanders is a top. Like, people are projecting him to be the third quarterback. If another team that needed a quarterback was sitting at third, not just the Giants, they'd be picking Sanders to go there, too. Like, he's these two quarterbacks.
Yeah, Jermaine Russell bought a nice house in Oakland, too. So
what's that?
There is a problem. Jamarcus Russell bought a nice house in Oakland.
Yeah, I understand that. You want to go through all the quarterbacks who've been successful? Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow just bought
himself a nice house in Cincinnati too, and got his wide receivers paid.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that I will happily take Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter. And if we had 15 years, except for one or two outliers of crappy. Like, I don't want to reach for these guys. I'm not saying they suck. I like that.
It's not a reach. It's not a reach. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not a reach.
It's a reach when you are hard fourth in the division. Do you think Shedeur Sanders is going to take you to the leading?
Did you think Jaden Daniels would take them to the NFC Championship game?
I thought he was going to take them to the top two in the division. I had no reason to think otherwise.
Washington sucks. This is everyone. Like, I just had the last caller. He's like, oh, but the Washington defense was better. They have Malik Nabers.
Well, first of all, the best thing that's going to happen is that if you draft Travis Hunter, who's willing to catch and receive.
I don't know if he's going to be able to do both. But again, Washington was so much set up better. That Tommy DeVito went in there and put up points and beat them. But they were so much better served than the Giants are right now. It's not true.
I don't hate these guys. I don't hate these quarterbacks.
It's really not a reach at three. They're not trading up from ten to get them.
I would rather take Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter at three, and then have either Jackson Dart or Kyle McCord out of Syracuse.
But why? Because they're just later in the draft? It doesn't mean they're going to be good or solve anything. And again, all right, Saquon Barkley, unbelievable talent, was here for 6 years, didn't win a damn thing. Dexter Lawrence is one of the best defensive tackles in the sport, hasn't won a damn thing. Andrew Thomas is a Pro Bowl left tackle, hasn't even helped the offensive line, let alone help the team win. All I'm saying is you could draft Hunter and he could be great. It doesn't help.
I would rather wait a year on these guys. Wait a year for what, Evan?
Wait a year for what? And they're going to fire him. They're not going to be here to make that pick. You think John Mara is okay with the idea of losing next year? He's not. You might be. Like you just said, oh, listen, it's already been like this for, you know, 9 out of the last 11 years. What's the difference? That's not how the owner views it. Listen to him speak. The owner is not coming up with a plan to tank for next year for Arch Manning. I promise you. He's pissed off and he wants wins. And you might be okay with it. The rest of the fan base isn't. They're flying planes over the stadium. You think you're okay with losing? Why? Because you don't like these quarterbacks, but Arch Manning is great? What's Arch Manning ever done? He's thrown like 50 passes in his college career. We have no idea what he's going to be. Never mind the fact that, does Arch Manning want to be here? The franchise is in a terrible spot, and now he's got to compete with his uncle's legacy? Is that where Arch Manning wants to go? Like, because Eli Manning played for the Giants, it's just like, hey, wait for Arch next year. Like, I don't know if Arch Manning's coming out in the draft. I don't know if Arch Manning's any better than Shedeur Sanders. You might say he is. He might have shown it early on in his career. He's thrown like 45 passes in his college career. We have no idea what kind of player he's going to be in college. None. And then just because he's a Manning, it's God's given right that he's going to be a New York Giant. They might not want him to the Giants. One, the franchise is in disarray. And two, now you're gonna put him in a spot where he's going to be a top pick and he's got to compete with his uncle's legacy? The guy could win a Super Bowl and it'd be considered a failure compared to his uncle. You guys make it sound like it's just that simple. Oh, yeah, we'll just get a quarterback next year. You didn't want a quarterback last year. I got the same calls last year. I'm like, they should draft a quarterback. No, I don't know.
They're not going to get Daniels. You think May is really that good? I'm not drafting Bo Nix. Bo Nix sucks. Michael Penix is like 45 years old.
We had all the excuses to not draft a quarterback last year. Then it'll be this year. Then it's next year. Stop being afraid of drafting the quarterback. It's the only damn position that makes a difference. I don't get it. And trust me, John Mara is not okay with tanking for any quarterback next year. He wants to win. If Brian Daboll and Joe Shane have two ways to keep their jobs, and I'm not saying they should go and move heaven and earth to make these two things happen, but they're human. They want to do what's best for the franchise, but they want to be part of it. So they have two ways to keep their jobs. Win games this year, or show that they are in the process of developing a quarterback. That's it. And they're hedging their bets. They've got two veterans, and they're going to go draft a quarterback. Jim in Little Falls, what's up, Jim?
Yeah, listen, I'm listening to all this, and I'm going to give you my take on it. I think what the signing today showed was they don't want either one in the first round. That's just me personally.
Why?
I don't think they want the Sanders sideshow. And
no, well, tell me why does the signing of Russell Wilson make you feel that way?
Well, I think they have two guys now who have experience in the NFL in the quarterback room.
Mm-hmm.
What I think they will do is take the best talent available at the at number three. Mm-hmm. And then, since he's the quarterback whisperer, so-called, take Milroe in a third. That's what I think they'll do.
Yeah, and Milroe's going to be there, and you know that because...
Well, I don't.
We don't.
But you have more play with to get him rather than sign Sanders or Ward or whatever you're going to do.
What do you mean? What do you mean? How do you have more room? If they're drafting third and Sanders is there, that's more room than hoping Milroe is there for them in the third round.
Just from a personal standpoint, I watch a lot more college football and pro football.
Okay.
I think, first of all, I don't want this, and this is just me talking. I'm not saying with the Giants. The whole draft is a crapshoot to begin with. We all know that.
Right.
But the whole thing of just we gotta get this guy. Why? He's undersized. Mm-hmm. Listen, I would rather take a guy in the third round that played in the SEC and started for 2 years and played much stiffer competition, who, by the way, is a house compared to Sanders.
Yeah, I know. He also played with Alabama and played with, you know, more talent than almost every other team he played against.
No question. Absolutely no question.
Yeah.
No question. Played much stiffer competition.
Yeah, but he also played with much better players.
No, there's no doubt about it. I personally don't think Sanders is built. I just think he's undersized.
Well, you not liking Sanders is different than you thinking Russell Wilson.
I'm not saying I don't like the guy, but what I'm saying is I don't think by drafting Sanders is gonna make a difference coming. Well, let me ask you this: is he going to be a starter coming out
from day one?
Yeah.
No, clearly not. They have two veteran quarterbacks. They're going to go with the plan of letting him
watch for a while.
Well,
then they need to bulk him up. Then he needs to get bigger.
I mean, we'll see. I think he's probably going to get a little bit bigger as he ages. But, yeah, I mean, again, he is very accurate. He's played behind poor offensive lines. I think he's uniquely set up to be the quarterback for the New York Giants. He's dealt with he already has money. Money's not going to impact his life. He's already dealt with, you know, he's been around NFL. He's been around, you know, with his father being Deion Sanders. He's dealt with, you know, media and the different things that you have to deal with. Like, I think he's uniquely set up to be the Giants quarterback. Plus, I think he's very accurate, and I think he can throw the football. Like, there's a reason the Giants aren't the ones saying he's a top quarterback prospect. That's the rest of the NFL is. Right now, not at the same level as Andrew Luck or this one or that one. That's fine. Who knows? But let him mature for a year. Let's see. It depends on what the Giants think of him. But again, they don't need Sanders. They need their future quarterback. And that comes in the draft. We saw what free agency looks like this year. We saw what it looks like. What do you think you're going to get? Like, you have to find your quarterback in the draft. They've won three games. They're the third pick. They don't have a quarterback. When that's the situation, you draft a quarterback. Because again, you just called the draft a crapshoot. Right? That means Jalen Carter. That means Abdul Carter is a crapshoot. That means Hunter is a crapshoot. Maybe a little bit less of a crapshoot than the quarterback, but still a crapshoot. And I promise you, it doesn't make a difference who you take there. If you are wrong, it's a disaster. You can be wrong with Carter, you can be wrong with Hunter, and it's still a disaster. The difference is you can be right with Carter, you could be right with Hunter, and it might not help you win any more games. Where if you're right with the quarterback, it transforms your franchise. That's the difference. That's why I want it. Because if you're right, it changes everything. If you're right with Hunter, you've got another shutdown. You've got a good shutdown corner, should impact, help the defense a little bit. Doesn't guarantee you anything. Myles Garrett's the best defensive player on the planet. Look what he's done with the Browns. Terrell Revis was the shutdown corner for the Jets. I know they went to a couple of AFC championship games, but, like, you know, it doesn't guarantee you get the right quarterback. Anything can happen. You can transform your team in a year. It's this quick. It's worth taking the chance on. Ross in Bergen County. What's up, Ross?
C-Mac, how you doing, man?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Opening days. I'm doing all right, man.
Yes, sir. So happy opening days. We're getting there.
Yeah, I mean, it took long enough. Now, technically, opening day happened already 2 weeks ago, but
I know,
it took
crazy.
Long enough to get to this. Anyway, you care if I poo-poo it a little bit with some Ranger talk?
We know, can poo. Yeah, last, no, listen, come on. Throw some cold water all over the show. Let's go.
One last hurrah before we could put this team to bed.
I know. This is, I mean, again, I didn't. I was driving in. I was. I saw that they had, what, two shots on goal in the first period?
Yeah, it was the fifth consecutive period that they had single-digit shots on goal.
Oh, my God.
And we're not talking 8-9. I mean, legitimate, like, five or less. Oh. It was I think it was the Vancouver game. They had one in the first period.
Unbelievable.
And, I mean, thank the Lord they won that game. It's not going to mean anything in, you know, big picture, and at least for that game specifically. You know, kind of side note with this whole season, what a disgrace that this is the season they're putting on for Sam Rosen on his, you know, kind of his curtain call.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's bad enough 1994, the whole, you know, this will last a lifetime, because he wasn't lying. I think he thought he was lying when he said that, but he for damn sure wasn't lying.
No. Nope.
Because that probably lasted my lifetime. It was 10 years before I was born. And I'll say this, man. I mean, everyone's talking about the Calgary game, and, like, no joke, without exaggeration, probably one of the worst, if not the worst game I've ever watched them play. I mean, and, you know, yeah, how many callers do we get on the station talking about, you know, going to baseball for a second? God forbid you got a runner going to first and, you know, kind of cat mails it in and everyone's beating on him. You know, lack of effort, people want him traded and cut, you know,
yep.
Kind of, you know, rag on it the first. But there's, like, a legitimate problem with the effort on the team. It's not one or two guys, it's the whole core. And, you know, you're talking about, let's say they even do slip into the playoffs, just to get their teeth kicked in by a Washington team who was kind of in a similar spot as them last year. The only difference is they moved on from their GM. They had a second-year head coach, kind of, you know, a whole other thing. They didn't bring in their fifth retread of a coach in, what, 7 years? They brought in a whole new guy. Ovi's kind of the one constant, but the whole team around him is different. They're going to run it back with the same core. Everybody, every, you know, veteran on this team that just can't produce to save their lives is locked up for the next, like, 5 or so years, except for Panarin, who's probably the only one that is still producing despite the losing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you talk about, well, you go through the contracts, and, like, Igor's contract's awful. He's the only reason they've even been in these games. I'm not the biggest Igor fan, but I got to give him credit here. The reason these games aren't 7-0. I mean, Lafreniere, what is there to say? He's probably stolen more money in this city than Bernie Madoff at this point. Honest to God. I mean, the money they gave him off one good year.
Yep.
You want to, and you know what's even funnier is there's a whole thing. You know, obviously Byfield went second overall in that draft with LA, and they got a guy. I think he's from Chatham. He's a local kid, Alex Laferrere. If you look at the names, kind of like the giant picnic I saw Kia last call. Their names are really similar. He was taken in the third round of that draft, and he has almost as many points as this prodigy we took first overall. Can't even skate across the ice, dude. And you know, Kako, we saw the same thing. And meanwhile, Kako's lighting it up in Seattle now. So that should show you who was at fault there. And
yep.
I'm no big Kako fan either. But when you, well, first round pick after first round pick, and you put out a letter for a rebuild, and you wind up having to turn to signing Kevin Shankert to 7-year deals, you know, a year later, that's the reason why you're in this position now. And they tried covering up with the Eastern Conference Finals appearances, and they were all fine and dandy until, dude, I didn't watch the first month of the year. People talk about how good they were for the first month of the year. That was the only portion of the season I didn't watch because I was so broken from the end of the playoff run. I tagged along when the losing started. So I didn't even get to enjoy it. Like, Riley Smith, I'll never remember him as a Ranger because they sold him at the deadline. He was producer for like a month. Dude, this season, I've seen some bad Ranger hockey. Obviously, the 17-18 days with David Quinn and them. I'm missing those teams, man. Those teams where the season was done in October compared to this crap, man. I took that team for granted because this season's been an absolute joke. And the fact that they're still in the mix, they're not going to make it. But the fact that they're still in the mix is a joke, man. And
yeah.
I can't wait for the season, man. I appreciate it.
I hear you, Ross, and good venting. No, it's been an impossible season for the Rangers. And you're right about Lafreniere. I mean, I thought last year he found it. If you remember, there was such a talk heading into the season about Lafreniere last year about, you know, this is it, make or break year for him. And he had from day one, I think he scored a goal on opening day. And, like, from the rest of the year, he was an impactful player. He had a great year. They paid him, and he has been a disaster this year. And you're right. I don't know. That back-to-back years of the second overall pick and then the first overall pick, and they got two players who, one, they've already moved to Seattle, you're right. I don't know if he's lighting it up, but he's been better than he has been with the Rangers. And then Lafreniere. I mean, two disasters at first and second overall. I mean, just... And right now, it just feels like this team is completely lost. They don't care. They don't fight. Five straight periods. Five straight periods of single-digit shots on goal. It's atrocious. Laviolette is going to get fired. They're going to have a new coach next year, and we'll see if they keep the same core. I don't know about that, though. I don't know if they will off of this. Like, it's one thing to be the team that's not good enough to win in the playoffs, right? To feel like, the bread man doesn't show up, and, obviously, Zibanejad isn't as good in the postseason, and is the core tough enough to win these seven-game series? Like, it's one thing after winning the President's Trophy to get beat in the postseason and then feel like, hey, I have questions about this core, but let's keep it. It's another to be a freaking nightmare, not showing any effort, missing the playoffs. That's when cores change. So we'll see what Drury does in the offseason.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Diaz on the first base side of the rubber. Rests the glove on his left thigh. Looks into Alvarez. Diaz still staring in. Comes set. The 1-2 pitch. Swung out and missed strike three. Put it in the books. And to the New York Mets, California, here we come.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 1:36. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. All right, now, as a baseball fan, I don't know why. I guess I didn't know this, and I'm sure Fliegelman's going to give me one of those looks I get every time I say something where he's shocked I'm unaware of it. But every game is starting at 3 p.m. or later on Thursday? For opening day? I thought since, like, where are the Reds? The Reds are at home against the Giants starting at 4:10? Like, did something change this year that they're doing all these games at 3? Did I miss something here? Why all these games are at 3 o'clock as opposed to 1 o'clock and everything?
I have not seen a reason, but the best speculation I saw, and I forget who said this, it wasn't my fault, I can't take credit for it, was that it's after school, and kids will get to see opening day.
Right.
I mean, I'm not sure if you're taking a kid out of school. Mm-hmm. You obviously still need to do that before 3 o'clock, but
right.
On TV, kids can get home from school and watch their team play opening day.
Right.
That's probably not the reason, because baseball would never do something that smart.
I know.
Or that considerate, but
right.
It's nice to think about.
But then the World Series.
These kids can't, right, they can't see
World
Series
starts
game,
at 9 o'clock.
Yeah. But let them watch opening day.
I know. Now, so the first pitch, it's an ESPN exclusive. It's not on the YES Network, the Yankee game. It's on ESPN. That will be the first pitch of, I guess, this portion of the season, as we've obviously already seen games in Tokyo, in Japan. But the Yankees will, their first pitch is 3 o'clock. The next game is the Blue Jays at 3:07. Everybody else is 4 o'clock or later.
And I think those are also, the Mets Astros is 3 o'clock local time.
Right. Obviously, yes. These are Eastern times, I'm giving you. But that doesn't change the fact that the first pitch will be Carlos Rodon will start what is the main crux of the Major League season tomorrow, 3 p.m., live from Yankee Stadium, 888-808-1019. Still talking Jets, Giants quarterback Russell Wilson. For now, we'll switch to baseball in a little bit. We did a little Rangers there as they just lost. We did a little Knicks as well. We'll get more into that as we move forward. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Let's get to Dave in Old Bridge. What's up, Dave?
How you doing, Chris?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing okay. I just want to weigh in on the Giants quarterback situation. I've been a Giant fan since 1979. I honestly feel they don't want either Ward or Sanders. Because
what?
They went so hard for Stafford that they don't like either one. I think they should take either Carter or Hunter at 3. Dart's going to be gone by the second round, I think.
Mm-hmm.
How about the kid out of Louisville? Tyler Shough, whatever.
Shuck. Look, I don't know why you think that, to be totally honest with you. I know they went after...
Why would they go so hard after Stafford?
Because they don't have Shador Sanders or Cam Ward.
They're
drafting
that.
Third. We don't know if they were guaranteed. Yeah, but how do you? Maybe at that point they had tried to talk to Tennessee about trading up, and they said no. Maybe even we don't know. The Giants can't wait around for quarterbacks that might not be there. And you can't say, well, look, they were trying to do something else at the quarterback position. It means they don't like these two guys that they might not have an opportunity to get. So, yeah, when they viewed it, they need to win this year. Matthew Stafford presented itself as a viable option. They could have traded for him and paid him, and they viewed him as good enough to forego the chance of being able to draft Walter Sanders. Absolutely. But it doesn't mean they don't like them. And it doesn't mean, same thing like right now. It's like, we don't know. They're having a backup plan in case they don't have the quarterbacks at three.
Right. And Stafford fell in their lap, and they got Stafford. You still think they would take Walter Sanders?
No.
No, okay. So that's telling us that
they
didn't want them.
If they had the first pick in the draft, it would tell us that. They have the third pick. It's not like they're guaranteed one of those two guys. That's the thing. All right, so say they pass on Stafford I don't want to sign Stafford. I really like Shedeur Sanders. Oh, Shedeur Sanders went second? Like, you can't make the decision based on quarterbacks you don't have.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if they had the first overall pick, if they lost that game against the Colts, and they had the first overall pick, and they went that far down the line with Matthew Stafford, then I would agree with you. If they had their choice of any quarterback in this draft, and still chose to pursue trying to trade and sign for Matthew Stafford, then I would agree with you. But sitting at third, they're not guaranteed these two guys. So they made a decision that if this option that was presented to them was easier than trading up to one to get the quarterback they love or waiting at three and not knowing, these guys' lives are on the line. Their jobs are on the line. They can't just hope Sanders falls to them or hope Cam Ward falls to them. So they went out there and took the one viable option for the one really talented quarterback and was willing to make that move for Matthew Stafford. And in that case, I agree with you. They wouldn't have drafted a quarterback because Matthew Stafford is then your answer for 2 or 3 years. He's your guy moving forward. You're going to have to pay him enough. You've traded enough draft equity for him. He's your guy. So they wouldn't have drafted a quarterback. But it's not the same thing as having Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward obviously available to them and foregoing it. Nothing they've done this offseason would indicate that they would forego drafting those two because they're not in a position to draft them yet. It's not that showing interest in other quarterbacks doesn't mean they don't like Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. Like they just had a draft where they loved they loved Jaden Daniels and they were willing to trade up for May and couldn't get it done. Like, that just happened last year. So, I mean, it's not like that means, they love Daniel Jones. No, they didn't love Daniel Jones. They couldn't get the quarterbacks they loved. And they can't sit around this year with their lives on the line and hope one of those two quarterbacks fall to them. Like, everyone's just assuming Shedeur Sanders is going to be there at three. Why? The Browns need a quarterback. These quarterbacks could easily go 1-2, and the Giants are sitting there with nothing to do. So they viewed Matthew Stafford as a talented enough quarterback to come in here and try and win some games, and it was going to fall to them. The trade was happening. They worked out a deal. It was a plausible option. We don't know if trading up is plausible. We don't know if drafting third, Shedeur Sanders, is plausible. We knew Matthew Stafford was plausible. So they went as far down the road as possible with that. And then what happened? The minute that got pulled for them, every report was they're looking to trade up to number one. I don't know. I'm not in the room. I can't guarantee you. I wouldn't bet my mortgage on it. I don't know. I don't know if they love one of these two quarterbacks. I don't know. I think they're willing to draft either one of them, but I don't know. Maybe they don't love the one of the quarterbacks, but you can't tell me you know based on anything they've done this offseason. Nothing they have done this offseason would indicate how they feel about Sanders or Ward because they're not in a position to draft them. They don't have them. If they had the number one pick and they were sitting pretty and they could pick any quarterback they want and they still went out and did all this, then yeah, that would be weird. That would indicate, well, all you have to do is sit back and draft your number one guy. What's the problem? But they're not in that position. They're third in a two-quarterback draft. I'm being sent a message or something along those lines. I still haven't gotten it, so let me take another call. Chris in Brooklyn. Oh, hold on, Fleegs.
Hello?
Right, Teddy Bridgewater with the Jets. They signed Teddy before they made the trade up to three Knowing that, yeah, right, exactly right. So before they traded up for Sam Darnold, the Jets, if you're looking for a comparison, as Fleegs gave me a Jet comparison from back from his Jet rooting days, when Sam Darnold was available in the draft, let me put you on hold, Chris, I'm going to get you in a second. Before they knew they could move up and get him, they signed Teddy Bridgewater. They brought in Teddy Bridgewater. They made sure they had a backup quarterback. It doesn't mean they didn't like Sam Darnold or anybody else. They weren't sure they could get him. Then they traded up to number three and took Sam Darnold. The idea that we know how the Giants feel about the quarterbacks because of what they've done, I don't believe in. Now, I can't tell you or guarantee you that they do love the guys, and if you get a feeling that they don't, or certainly if you don't think they should, that's a conversation. I disagree with you, but I understand. And it's a viable conversation, but I don't think anything they did with either Matthew Stafford or the two veteran quarterback signings in Winston and Wilson that they've made indicate in any way, shape, or form how they feel about Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. Sorry about that, Chris. What's up, man? How are you?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Just calling about the Giants. I just feel like this whole situation is so weird, right? All of it is weird. Going back from winning the game against the Colts, right? Puts you at three, which is a weird spot because there's two quarterbacks and you need one.
Right.
Right? Then you rehire the GM and the head coach, right? Which is a weird spot too because, A, you don't have a quarterback. You have to have a quarterback to win in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
These guys are now doing things to save their job, to win games, but also we have to develop a quarterback. So it's like, okay, are they going to be picking for their jobs? Are they going to, you know, just to win seven games and keep their jobs? Or are they picking for the future? So now we're stuck in this weird spot, right? Where, like you said, it's no guarantee to get anything at this point. And all these people talking about, oh, let's tank for Arch Manning. You're not guaranteed anything.
No.
Just like when we thought we were sitting pretty week 12, week 13. Oh, we got the number one pick. Then yep. Bam. That happened.
Yep.
Nothing is guaranteed. So now we're in a spot where when they did the Winston thing last week, I was excited because, okay, we're definitely trying to get a quarterback. Then today I was a little bit confused when they got the Russell Wilson thing because you're like, okay, now you have two quarterbacks. You're going to get a third quarterback? Okay. But then I kind of, in my head, I've made sense of it. So you get a chance to get Shedeur. Let's say we get Shedeur. I'm saying that, right? Mm-hmm. I'm putting that out there. We're going to draft Shedeur.
Okay.
We put him in a room with two pretty, you know, some pros. Russell Wilson image. Jameis Winston's he's been around. He knows the game.
Yep.
And he's an SSU guy. Let's not forget about that.
Okay.
Both religious, all of those things tie in, right? So now you're kind of killing two birds with one stone with these guys, right? Again, these guys are still coaching and GMing for their jobs, for their lives, right? Their livelihood.
Yep.
So now we can win a couple of games, and we can put this kid in a good room, right, with some good guys or whatever the situation is, and we can move him forward. Now, high end, let's say we win seven games, right? We win six games, and then Shedeur plays the last game, and he wins the last game, and then you have promise, and these guys can keep their job. I mean, that's like in a perfect world, probably.
I'm
with you, man. Go get the goddamn quarterback. Let's stop kicking the can, man.
I'm with you, Chris. It's time to go get the quarterback. I totally agree. And I don't disagree with anything you said. I think it's coaching for their jobs a little bit, but it's not like this isn't that crazy. Every GM in football would consider drafting a quarterback when you're third and you don't have one. Like, this isn't a, wow, look at these guys really making this, like, crazy move for this quarterback. Like, what? No one seems to be thinking that the Tennessee Titans are making a mistake. Nobody seems to think the Tennessee Titans are reaching for a quarterback. I haven't taken one call about how, wow, man, Tennessee has an opportunity to get an incredible defensive player. You know, they've got, you know, Travis Hunter sitting there. He could play wide receiver and cornerback for them. They, you know, Carter is an incredible pass rush. And they're reaching for Cam Ward. Like, not one person has said that. But I bet you if Cam Ward, if everyone was talking about Shedeur Sanders going number one, Giant fans would still be calling me up saying, oh, you shouldn't be reaching for Cam Ward. He left his team at the halftime of the Pop-Tart Bowl, and you know he's on, you know, blah 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 blah. He's been to a bunch of different places. He's not that good a prospect. Don't reach. Like, this is what teams do when you're in this position. This is what you do. They're not doing anything out of the norm. Any GM would be considering taking a quarterback in this spot. It's what you should be doing. And yeah, the idea that now you've got two different veterans in there he can learn from. You go out there and you try and win as many games as you can this year. At some point, probably transition to the rookie quarterback. And you maybe win enough games. You show promise with the rookie quarterback. And you move forward. It's not about necessarily keeping their jobs as it is just the stability of the franchise. Because if those things don't happen, if they draft a quarterback and those things don't happen, or even if they don't draft a quarterback and those things don't happen, like, well, now where's the franchise? I guess if they lose enough games, they'll be in a position to draft a quarterback next year with a new GM. And again, do you trust John Mara to hire the right guy? Do you trust John Mara to hire and fire? Think about where this, if they don't draft a quarterback this year, and they're at the top of the draft next year, another losing season, another dreadful losing season where they're in a position to draft a quarterback, you bring in a new GM and a new coach, and boom, right away, first decision, draft the future franchise. And you better not be wrong. Like, who the hell? I mean, not easy. Not easy. Dwight in East Orange. What's up, Dwight?
Yeah, how you doing, Chris? I agree with a lot of things you'd be saying, but this time I don't.
Okay.
I feel as though, I mean, I like Ward. If I was a Giants, I would take Ward. But Sanders, I watched a lot of college football this year. He's not mobile, and he's undersized. I think they should take Hunter. Because I think Hunter is like a generational talent, you ask me. Jameis Winston be the quarterback. Because you just don't pick a quarterback as a quarterback. You got to be high on him. I don't think the Giants are high on Sanders, to be honest with you.
Why? Because you're not?
Because, he's undersized. He's not that mobile.
Okay.
I just don't think he's really all that, you know, like he's a transformer team like that. I think Hunter is
He turned around he turned around two college programs.
Anybody could do that, though.
Anybody could do that?
Colorado, they wasn't even good last year. It was like 6-5.
You know where they were before he got there?
They were too terrible.
Yeah.
But they had a lot of transfers and all that. They was like 6-5 in a weak conference.
I'm just saying he's done a pretty good job with both of the schools he went to. He's put up some pretty good numbers. He's accurate. Yeah, he's a little undersized. Okay, so are a lot of quarterbacks.
Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
If you knew for sure that he was going to struggle next year and that Hunter was going to be, he was a player of the year, would you take Hunter over him?
If I was sure he was going to, you tell me just next year. Like, he struggles next year, that he's going to be a failed quarterback. Because, of course, if he's a failed quarterback, I don't want to take him. But like if he, I don't know how many games he's going to play next year, to be totally honest with you. But I wouldn't be done with him after just next year. But again, Hunter, defensive rookie of the year. Okay, the Jets had the defensive and offensive rookie of the year. Where'd they go with that? What does that do for you? What does the defensive and offensive rookie of the year get you if it's not the quarterback? Because again, the Jets had both. The Jets had both, but you know what the problem was? Zach Wilson was the quarterback. That was the problem. 888-808-1019. Actually, we could squeeze in Nick real quick. Nick in Dobbs Ferry. What's up, Nick?
Chris, you're the unsung hero of WFAN.
Well, thank
Everyone
you,
loves you. You can check the Reddit page. You're the number one guy.
I've heard that. I've checked it out, and people are very kind to me, especially, I wouldn't say, excuse me. People on Reddit are kind to me, but more so just compared to how they treat everybody else. But
it's unbelievable. Well, listen, I'm not a poster. I just read it.
Oh, my God. I don't know. Negativity plays, but I almost feel like I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. Like, you know, everyone else is getting,
I'll tell you,
so many people get killed, and I'm like, they're like, oh, I like Big Mac. And I'm like, I don't know if that's good or bad. Maybe I should be more edgy.
I assume they love the fan. I think a lot of people are just on there disgruntled.
Of course.
Yeah, whatever. But so to this whole Russell Wilson thing, and Morley to Joe Shane and this contract that he gave him when they already signed Jameis, and you know we're looking for a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
what do they say? A pretty face will last a year or two, but pretty soon we'll see what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we're seeing what Joe Shane can do. We're getting Russell Wilson. We already have Jameis Winston. This guy's thrown for 5,100 yards in a season.
Yeah.
Granted, it was he threw 30 picks.
Yes, he did.
But at the same time, I think they said, and Evan Ticky, and I agreed with it, it's a lot easier to bench someone like that than when you're paying $30 million to a quarterback that is basically smoked.
Yeah, they're not paying $30 million to him. They're paying 10.5 guaranteed up to 21. So it could be
21. It's only 1 year, though.
Max,
okay, yeah. I thought 21, though.
No, max is 21 million. And he's only guaranteed 10.5. So I don't know what the incentives are just yet. It could be starts or whatever. So if you're going to the young rookie quarterback at some point this year and you're benching him, then he's not making $21 million.
But do you think Russell Wilson on the bench would be a good guy? I mean, if you look up Sierra from the 2024 Oscars, she could play offensive line for us. But I don't know about Russell Wilson. I think he's completely slumped.
Well, listen, I don't love him either. I'll be telling you honestly. We haven't really broke down the game of Russell Wilson just yet. I'm sure we'll have time for that. This was more about what this indicates for me and how they're moving forward. But I don't, yeah, I mean, 2 years ago, before he got traded to Denver, I wanted the Giants to trade for him. I wanted the Giants to trade one of their first two-round picks, one of their two first-round picks that they had that ended up being Evan Neal and Kayvon Thibodeau. So when I first got killed for it after the miserable season that he had in Denver, at least those two picks have been, you know, a pedestrian pass rusher at best and an absolute bust of an offensive lineman. But, and they would have had to give him a contract. It wouldn't have been a good idea. But at the time, I thought like he still was Russell Wilson. Now we've seen him for a couple years. He's not Russell Wilson. He's still capable of making some pretty throws. He doesn't really throw it towards the middle of the field. He sticks outside. He does throw, you know, not a pretty, you know, deep ball. So hopefully Malik Nabers can go make plays. Even, you know, Slayton, who's got some speed, and then Hyatt, who's been kind of wasted with the New York Giants as a third-round pick. You know, maybe his, you know, the one route he runs, which is just straight down the field, maybe you could see Russell Wilson be able to attack that a little bit. But I said it from the beginning. I think the game, I'd rather see Jameis Winston. I think Jameis Winston's capable of making more throws. I think Jameis Winston has a stronger arm. I think Jameis Winston is a little bit of a swashbuckler, but I think that's Brian Daboll's specialty. The one best thing that Brian Daboll did this as a Giant head coach was limit the turnovers of Daniel Jones. If you could limit the turn, like to me, if you told me like best case scenario for these two quarterbacks, I would say best case scenario for either one would be Brian Daboll figuring out how to keep Winston from throwing interceptions. If Jameis Winston could limit turnovers, I think he's the better quarterback of the two. But he's been unable to do so, and they got him for $4 million, so they said, why the hell not Russell Wilson for 10.5? Like, it's $14 million guaranteed to the quarterback room. That is a good number for two quarterbacks who could play. So, look, I don't have much confidence in Russell Wilson. I don't think Russell Wilson's going to be a 17-game starter for this Giant team. I would be surprised unless they win a lot of football games, which, again, that would surprise me too. So to me, this is still draft the quarterback at three if he's there. If not, find another quarterback in the second or third round or maybe even trade back into the first to get one and go about rebuilding this team. Try and win some games as best you can with these two veterans and then eventually go to the young quarterback and give him a run of at least five or six games towards the end of the year to see what you got.